Confidential aspects of spirituality. Any attempt to understand spiritual sex or spiritual union must go beyond the formal, majestic, awe-inspiring conceptions of God as the supreme creator, maintainer, and destroyer. It must also leave behind the impersonal idea of God as light or energy. The deeper, more confidential aspects of spirituality involve an intimate, personal, rapturous relationship of the soul with God. When we are no longer bound to material consciousness and have no further desire for physical sense gratification, many types of intimate, sweet relationships with the Lord are possible. Such relationships form part of the inner teachings of any bona fide spiritual tradition, as experienced by the most advanced saints. For example, the inner teachings of bridal mysticism in the Christian tradition include personal experiences with God, so that nuns in certain orders become brides of the Lord. In addition, the writings of St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross describe a mystical, conjugal, loving relationship with God in which the soul, feminine in nature, takes great joy in associating with the beloved. In the ancient Vaishnava tradition in India, many of the great male Goswamis also write about being feminine in spiritual consciousness, considering themselves lovers of the Lord. Unfortunately, in this day and age, people have become so external that they consider scriptural accounts of spiritual experiences as mere allegory or myth. Yet, this is not the case. For example, the Song of Solomon in the Bible talks about a personal relationship with God as a lover. If we were to ask a minister to explain these passages, we might hear many kinds of conjecture. Yet, the poet of the Song of Solomon is describing an interpersonal experience in which he actually sees himself as a female and thinks of the Lord as a lover. The poem, which is not allegorical but factual, describes confidential aspects of the soul's union with the Lord. It is a literal expression of a great saint's dedication, love, and ecstasy. Loving exchanges in the spiritual world are not limited to these that occur face to face. Ultimately, expressions of love can be of two types: those that occur in the presence of the beloved and those that occur when separated from him. The love experienced in separation from the Lord is considered the deeper connection, because when the beloved is not present, the lover is completely absorbed in meditation on him, anticipating the joys of reunion. This aspect of spiritual life demonstrates the great difference between physical sex life and spiritual union. Material sexuality relies largely on physical stimulation, whereas spiritual union considers the experience of separation to be even greater than the actual presence of the beloved. The natural activity of the soul is to be in constant rapturous union with the beloved, or to be making arrangements for that union. This is another radical distinction from material sexual activity, which only occurs when humans feel the desire for it. In spiritual life, the soul is always experiencing blissful union, even more so when separated from the beloved. Although this makes no sense materially speaking, it makes perfect spiritual sense, because union in the spiritual realm has nothing to do with physical bodies. The difference between union in a spiritual body and sex in a material body is similar to the difference between water and oil. Although these are both liquids, if you drink oil, you will die, whereas if you drink water, you will live, risking death only if you do not drink it. Another analogy is the difference between an altruistic, righteous person and a vicious, selfish convict. The citizen and the convict are subject to different laws and have different fields of activity. The prisoner's lifestyle and environment are perverted replicas of actual society. The convict's universe is a prison, while the citizen is free to go anywhere. Prisoners who forget about their incarceration and try to maintain their habits in prison without changing their criminal frame of mind can forfeit their parole. Similarly, if we persist in identifying with the physical senses in this material prison, we forfeit our ability to free ourselves from material energy.